Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, March the 17th. Coming up, the multi-million pound rebuild of a school near Sittingbourne has been completed.
All of these elements have been thought about carefully to make sure that the learning environment is really, really, it flows for the children.
And Gillingham welcomes Swindon Town to Priestfield in League Two tonight, and they're desperate for a result.
I'll get this team up for Tuesday, no problem at all. I'm looking forward to it because it's a local derby. And how much it means to the fans.
But first, the family of a teenager from Faversham who died after contracting meningitis say they're beyond devastated. 18-year-old Juliet was in the sixth form at Queen Elizabeth's Grammar School. Head teacher Amelia McElroy has been paying tribute.
Her humour and her positivity were captivating. She was a genuinely caring and attentive listener, a true friend, who listened with warmth, respect and sincere interest to her peers and to our staff.
A 21-year-old student from the University of Kent also died. The outbreak is being linked to club chemistry in Canterbury, with those who went to events there on the 5th, 6th and 7th of March being urged to get antibiotics as a precaution. I've been speaking to Louise Jones-Roberts, who owns the venue.
As soon as we realised, our primary concern was just to make sure we let as many people know as possible, because we didn't want anybody to think that they had symptoms but that they weren't taking them seriously. So we just wanted to get a message out to everybody as quickly as possible. So we did that last night. We put that across our socials, and we've got a huge social media following. So we were hopeful that lots of people saw that and then have acted appropriately if they have got any symptoms or if they have got any concerns, just to prevent any more, well, you know, really just fatalities. It's just heartbreaking, just any more devastating sadness, really.
Your venue is so incredibly popular, isn't it? Can you tell us a bit about, so they've kind of identified what night it was. Are you able to tell us a bit more about that?
So they don't know for a fact. They are of the belief that it was any of the 5th, the 6th or the 7th, but they don't know for certain. We're spread over three floors. We've got big capacity over the nights. So what's actually happened as well, we're having an exciting time of it. At the moment, the Odeon, which was a disused cinema next to our sister venue, partly burnt down on the 14th of February. So that's closed. So we've actually transferred some of the nights from that over to chemistry. So chemistry's had more people in it than it would have done normally, but over those nights there's over 2,000 people.
You're well known, aren't you, for welcoming so many people and so many students, because it has just a great vibe, doesn't it? I mean, ordinarily it's just a wonderful place for them to be able to go.
That's really kind of you, thank you. Yeah, we try our best. We love our customers. We love to provide we pride ourselves on providing formative experiences where people can come experience music but also socialise, make memories that they carry with them for a lifetime. So something like this is just, it's just devastating. It really is. And it's so shocking, because I think with COVID, obviously people were unwell and it was sad. But I think for young people to be absolutely fine 1 minute and then be so, it's just so shocking that it can happen so rapidly, and the consequences of something can be so devastating.
What have the health experts said to you about what you do going forward? Because obviously now we've seen queues at the uni today, people getting antibiotics, and obviously we're really hoping that they will be incredibly effective. We are aware there are a few more people in hospital, unfortunately, but what have they said as far as you being able to reopen the venue again? I mean, what advice have you been given?
So, I mean, the reason why it's taken me a bit of time to get back to the request for news today, statements and things, is because our priority has been making sure that people are safe. So the first thing for us was our staff, and we needed to guidance from the health agency as to what to do for them. So all of our staff, they've requested that everybody that has worked, the whole team, because of, you know, people are friends and live together and what have you, that go and get a precautionary course of antibiotics. So that's 95 people. I've taken the decision that we're closing for now. The health agency don't think there's any need for us to close, because ultimately It is spread by person to person contact. So you're not going to just brush past somebody and catch it. They don't think that we need to close, but I can't bear the thought of anyone else getting ill. So until it's under control, or it's calmed down, then we're just going to sit and wait. Just to make sure people are okay. That's the priority at the moment.
Now, 4 clinics are open today to offer antibiotics to people who went to the venue. Those sites are at the Uni of Kent, Kent and Canterbury Hospital, Northwood Road in Broadstairs and Westgate Hall. Niamh has been to one of them this morning and spoke to our reporter, Jerry Warren.
So I'm obviously just coming down to the clinic just to have a check-up, just to see what's going on. Obviously, I don't really want meningitis. And I've been in contact with someone, so best thing to do is just to get checked.
So precautionary, really?
Yeah.
What contact would that have been?
So I was at Club Chemistry both on the 7th and the Thursday just gone.
Right.
So, and obviously they've said if anyone who's been in attendance there, you need to, best thing to do is come down.
Yeah.
Look at.
Yeah, so precautionary, as you say.
Yeah.
When you heard that, you know, people who'd been to Club Chemistry were falling ill, did that worry you?
Oh, 100%. I was panicking. And obviously I've got friends who have had confirmed cases, so the best thing to do is definitely just to come and check.
And I think you're due to start a career in the police, aren't you?
Yeah, at the end of the month.
So you desperately want to be well.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to be poorly for that.
The UK Health Security Agency has today confirmed meningitis B is the strain behind the outbreak. Now, babies have been vaccinated against it since 2015, but older students aren't protected unless they've had the jab. Sue Gray lost her 21-year-old son Matthew to meningitis in 2023 and has campaigned for the MenB vaccine to be made more routinely available.
With meningitis, it can act really, really fast, but you can suffer the symptoms, you know, beforehand, before it gets serious. One of the signs that I am desperate to get across to people is if you cannot put your chin to your chest, that is a real sign of you need to get medical assistance straight away. I don't think meningitis is spoke about enough. And it actually saved my youngest son's life knowing that. Although it can be flu-like symptoms, cold-like symptoms, nausea, sickness, diarrhea, etc., fever, headaches. Obviously in Matthew's case, he was unconscious. The chin to the chest is something to really look out for, because everyone concentrates on rashes. Oh, we haven't got a rash, so it's not meningitis. But Matthew's rash never even showed up until he was, you know, he was in a coma, an induced coma. And that was when the rash started. So a rash is not always the first thing that you should look out for with meningitis, although that is, you know, common knowledge. I always, you know, get a glass, etc. Not saying to people not to look for that, because obviously everyone is different, but in some cases, obviously with a child, with a baby, it's a lot different. But for college students, you know, university, you know, late school, if they're old enough to talk and, have capability, if you can just ask them, can you touch your chin, touch your chest with your chin? If the answer is no, then you really do need to call 999.
Do you think, Sue, that maybe, because obviously there have been some incredible vaccines to try and prevent cases of meningitis, they have been very, very successful, that perhaps the knowledge around those symptoms that you explained there has perhaps been a little bit lost, and maybe the younger people now who've been affected because they'd had the vaccines may have not realised that meningitis was even still much of a threat to them?
Well, I wasn't aware, if I'm completely honest, that it was not just an illness that babies can get. when I was told that Matthew had meningitis, I was shocked, and I was 21 years old. So there obviously wasn't enough awareness out there to know that meningitis can actually affect anybody at any age, not just college or university. It can literally cause anyone can contract meningitis at any time.
2 year 13 pupils from Norton Ashbourne School in Ashford and Simon Langton Grammar School for Boys are among those currently being treated in hospital. Don't forget, within Stories at Kent Online, you can find details of all of the symptoms you need to look out for, and our thoughts are very much with all those who are affected.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man in his 40s has been flown to hospital with head injuries following an attack in Ashford. Emergency crews were called to Osborne Road in the Willsborough part of town just after midnight yesterday. Two men have been arrested. Police investigating claims two teenage girls were sexually assaulted in Canterbury have charged a man. It's alleged to have happened in the city centre in the early hours of Saturday. A 21-year-old from Ramsgate is due in court next month. A Gravesend man who lied to police about being racially abused has avoided jail. Kevin Hanley dialed 999 to say he'd also been threatened in the town centre in May last year. However, dashcam footage of the confrontation shows he'd been in the wrong. The 25-year-old from St Gregory's Crescent has been given a suspended sentence. An Ashford man who used counterfeit cash to pay for a second-hand iPhone has avoided jail. Stephen Hughes paid £380 in fake £20 notes for the goods he found on Facebook. The 40-year-old from Somerset Road also had forged banknotes in his wallet when he was arrested. He's got to do rehab, wear an alcohol abstinence monitoring tag and pay more than £200.
Kent Online reports.
Now, the multi-million pound rebuild of a school near Sittingbourne has been completed following more than 18 months of work. It means Tenham Primary will be able to welcome more pupils in future, as hundreds of new homes are also planned for the area. Liz Pearson is the head teacher.
Demolition started back in July last year and was completed very, very quickly and successfully. And there's absolutely no trace, apart from the time capsule that has been put into the ground under the playground. Massive. The classrooms are now the size they should be, and I think that's the difference. So the classrooms are of the right size, which has made a huge difference. Then we've got our lots of extra spaces. So our kitchen, which is just for the children, our huge hall, which has got our stage on, staging, lighting. And so all of these elements have been thought about carefully to make sure that the learning environment is really, really, it flows for the children. So not only do they feel comfortable within the space, but their learning can be absolutely optimised because we've got all of these different things within our brand new building. Eventually, over the next few years, we will double from 210 to 420 children, but it will be gradual. I mean, it's very important us to keep our school community feeling very familiar with everybody and to know everybody. So we will start in September 2026 by having 2 year R classes, and then we build from that every year. So the following year will be another 2 year R's. So eventually we will grow into 420 children. So, which is very exciting.
Staying with education news, and 10 years after leaving a secondary school in Ashford, a teacher has returned as its new head. Jamie McLean says he wants to make the Norton Ashbourne School the best grammar in East Kent. He'll take up the role in September, swapping his current one as principal of Turner Free School in Folkestone. A huge new charger installed for vehicles on Dover's new £34 million zero emission fast track service is not being used, as bus bosses say it's in the wrong place. Stagecoach say buses can't get close enough to the curb to access the overhead charger at Dover Priory station. The council deny it was installed incorrectly, but have told us work will be done to improve access. McDonald's bosses have submitted plans to take over a former Beefeater restaurant in Gravesend. The Woodlands in Rootham Road closed in 2024. Now the fast food giant have submitted an application to refurbish the site. It has received objections from residents, though, who say it's too close to a local school and would create too much traffic.
Kent Online reports.
Southern Water bosses say work in Kent to reduce sewage getting into rivers and streams is already having a positive impact. The company announced last year it was going to spend £1.5 billion on tackling storm overflows in the county. Projects are underway in Whitstable, Faversham, Herne Bay, Sittingbourne and Queenborough. They say 700 releases have been prevented so far. Elsewhere, £99 million is going to be spent on protecting homes here in the the southeast from flooding. The government cash will help fund the Lye expansion and Hildenborough embankment scheme. That'll reduce the risk to more than 1,800 homes and almost 600 businesses in and around Tunbridge and Hildenborough. And the new Archbishop of Canterbury is setting off on an epic 87-mile pilgrimage today ahead of her installation at Canterbury Cathedral. Dame Sarah Mullally will walk from St Paul's Cathedral to Canterbury, joining prayer services at churches and abbeys along the way. She'll be officially confirmed as the leader of the Church of England on March the 25th.
Kent Online News.
Got some health news now, and an NHS patient's become the first to have keyhole hernia surgery at a treatment centre in Gillingham. New equipment's been installed at the Will Adams facility. It's hoped it'll help reduce waiting lists and allow people to receive treatment nearer to home. Following the success of a bison project in Kent, a second one is going to be set up in the north of England. Five of the animals that have been roaming woodland in Blean have been moved to Cumbria to form a new breeding herd. Experts from the county are advising counterparts there on how the bison can naturally improve biodiversity. And finally, bosses in Maidstone have won a top award for the work they're doing to protect the environment. The local authority is running projects in the borough to boost biodiversity, create nature trails and clean waterways. They got the gold at the Wilder Kent Awards.
Kent Online Sports.
On to football now, and the Gillingham boss has told his squad they need to toughen up ahead of tonight's clash against Swindon Town. The Gills have suffered a run of disappointing results, losing 5-0 to Cambridge United last time out. They're currently 17th in League Two, while tonight's visitors to Priestfield are up in sixth and pushing for promotion. It's manager Gareth Ainsworth who spoke to us after Saturday's loss.
You had a lot of experienced players around the squad today, don't you? But you do want them starting, don't you?
Of course I do, you know, the Connor and Robbie and Ethan, and, you know, they've all turned up to come and support the boys. They think their spirit is, there's nothing wrong with the spirit, it's the physical condition of the boys. They're just not ready to start, they're not fit enough, they've got injuries, and that does hurt you, you know, it really does. But everyone else just keeps saying, oh, it keeps harping on about the injuries. I don't know what else to say. I can't get my best players on the pitch. That hurts Gillingham FC. And I think the fans deep down know that when I get my best 11 out there, we are a competitor in this league. But my next 11 isn't good enough, and that needs to get sorted.
What were you thinking when you conceded after a minute or two so early?
I was thinking, here we go again, you know, what's happened? We spoke so much about their set pieces and how we need to defend them and how we need to defend the second phase. Terrible to concede after 1 minute, you know, and like I say, it's a hammer blow. And we just got to put ourselves right now and get up. Listen, I'm fine. I want the boys to be fine. I need the boys to pick themselves up and come on, let's have some battling. Come on, let's have some... belief in yourselves and some confidence in on the ball, and then it just looks so disjointed at times and so weak at times, you know, people running off as people picking second balls up easily. We can't let that happen, you know. But as I say, I get my first 11 out that's in my head. I believe we can beat anyone in this league, but the second 11 probably isn't good enough.
And on the flip side, you have put a youngster in today. I mean, could you keep sort of maybe trying a few youngsters out, or is it hard time for them to come in at the moment?
No, it's tough for them to come in at the moment, but they'll learn plenty. It's great to have a look at them. What an opportunity, you know, that Harry Waldock's had. We brought him back off loan because we knew we were struggling with injuries once Ethan went down on Tuesday and Ewan. Again, there's two more, you know, that get injured. Tough for us at the moment, but the opportunity came for Harry, and I thought he took it with both hands. Cracking lad, you know. I think he's got a real chance in this game. But he needed to be an example to the other boys today, and it should be the opposite way around, surely. But fair play to him, he shone, and he was a bright light in what was a poor performance.
Everyone needs a lift. No better time to do it than against Swindon, I suppose, is there? You can pull that one off.
Listen, it's going to be a real tough one because it's Swindon, and they will come and they will want to get one over on their rivals. We were very good at their place. We should have won that game. We had the chances to win that game. Today, we didn't have the chances to win any game. We need to create chances on Tuesday against Swindon, and we need to be better at defending set pieces, second balls, balls forward that just seem to carve through us at times. It's my job to put it right. You know, it's going to be a tough day tomorrow watching the video, trying to pick the bones out of that and seeing it's not where it went wrong, it's how bad it went wrong and why. But I'll get this team up for Tuesday, no problem at all. I'm looking forward to it because it's a local derby and how much it means to the fans and players. What a way that would be to turn this horrendous form round, and it was a big chance.
Gareth there was chatting to our Jules reporter Luke Cordell. Kick-off tonight is at 7:45. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station KMFM tomorrow morning, and more reaction in full in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu's withdrawn from the Miami Open because of illness. The British number one from Orpington had a bye into the second round, but is still dealing with post-viral symptoms picked up last month. The 23-year-old struggled at Indian Wells last week, losing heavily to Amanda Anisimova. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium as well. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.